The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network. I'm not afraid, to take a stand.
Record with Shivago Lang is sponsored by BTC, the Cleft of the Rock Foundation, the Cleveland Clinic, Fidelity Bank Bahamas, RF Bank and Trust, and Royal Star Assurance.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio. 96.9 FM on this beautiful Monday afternoon. I trust you had a great weekend and having a good beginning to your week. If you want to give us a call on the show, the numbers to do so are 323-6232. That's 323-6232 or 325-4316, 325-4316 or 325-4259. That's 325-4259. You can text us on 422-4796. That's 422-4796. Or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. That's 439-3043. We are, of course, live on Cable Bahamas, channel 969. That's the way my mother listens to the show. Or you can catch us on BTC Flow channel 612. That's BTC Flow channel 612. So, a couple of things in particular that we might talk about today. One of them is the question of the Bahamas becoming a republic. We're going to talk about that. And the other is the decision by the government to tear down the domes, or at least some of them, as we understand it. So I want to get to, I'm not entirely sure. I don't think this domes issue will take us so long, because I don't want to comment on that, whether or not, I don't want to like speak conclusively to whether or not the government was right or wrong to tear down the domes. But to point out a continuing, I think, oversight by administrations about how they handle public policy decisions. That's the bottom line, how they handle it, in particular from a communications point of view. So, on the anniversary of a devastating hurricane in the country, where memories of that tragedy, that enormous, enormously negative impact on the country, becomes refreshed in the minds of Bahamians, in particular those Bahamians who were closest to the event, those in Abaco, those in Grand Bahama, and those who were family members and close friends of those who were in Abaco and in Grand Bahama. On that anniversary, and then you have the continuing impact, because both Abaco and Grand Bahama continue to reel from the impact of Dorian, enhanced or exacerbated by the COVID-19 pandemic. And so for some people, there is no Dorian is behind us. There is, we continue to grapple with the impact of Dorian, whether that was the loss of family members, the injury of family members, the loss of homes, the disrepair of homes, the loss of jobs, the loss of businesses, et cetera. So all of these things are continuing impact for lots of people. On that anniversary, we do not get an update on the assessment of the impact, because since the IDB and others, no one, as far as I'm aware, has come out to formally say, we are now at X number of dollars, X number of lives, X number of injuries, X number of home losses, X number. We haven't had an update. And then we have not had an update as to since that time we've restored this in the way of public infrastructure, this in the way of private infrastructure, and so forth. Not heard any such report. My own investigations tell me that public infrastructure in Abaco remains significantly disrepaired, whether that's clinics or schools or other public facilities remain with minimal work done. That in terms of home repair, where we know that it has been a historical thing from the UBP, listen to me now, from the Bay Street Boys, sorry, from pre-independence Bahamas, it has been a historical thing for governments to enter into the restoration of homes, rebuilding of homes for citizens of the Bahamas impacted by hurricanes. It happened during Ingram's time with his first encounter with a storm in 92. Was that Andrew? And continued on with any number of storms. But like I said, Selinden did it in his time and others did it in their time. But we have no report on what effort has been done. We know homes are being built in Abaco, but they are being built, my understanding is, privately for sale. These are not restorations or restored homes from the hurricane. The Minnesota administration has made no such effort that we are aware of, has given no such statement with respect to the same, and nor has now the Davis administration. So you have all of that, you have all of that outstanding set of things in respect of the storms, all of these pending situations in respect of the spawn, all of this uncertainty as to where we are. You have all of that, all of that. But definitively, a determination is made to bulldoze the domes. Now, the domes aren't being bulldozed after a statement has been made that an assessment having been done of the domes reveals X, Y, Z, so that the need has arisen to destroy them. In the light thereof, those who occupied the domes are now being relocated to X, Y, Z, or have been given X period of time to vacate and find new locations, blah, blah, blah. None of that. The domes get demolished. And then a statement comes out by the Prime Minister's office giving a justification, a rationale for the leveling, but only after criticism is made of the leveling. When in point of fact, good policy execution says, let me give a reason for this action being taken by the government so that the public will understand and know why the government sees fit to take such action. So there's criticism levied by the Free National Movement's leader, Michael Pintar, and others. And he is accused of being hypocritical and distasteful, right? In response to that. Why is he hypocritical and distasteful? He condemned the demolition as displacement of Bahamian families. That's what he did. OPM's response, and I do not have in hand the full response, but I'm reading excerpts from the an article in the Nassau Guardian by Travis Cartwright Carroll about the matter, which says that initially the intention was to dismantle the domes in hope that something might be salvaged. Initially, the intention was to dismantle the domes in hope that something might be salvaged. Okay. However, it was quickly determined that because the site is riddled with mold and conditions have deteriorated and are generally unsafe, a more assertive demolition process would be needed. Okay. So, you know, if all of that is as stated, then that becomes a good basis for demolishing the domes, if all of that is as is, right? It would obviously depend on the degree and extent of the mold, because you can have mold, but it could be remediated, and then whatever these deteriorated conditions were. Here's my thing, though. Again, to aid in public confidence and trust in the execution of public policy, why OPM? Like, for me, this is a great statement to come out from public health department, the environmental health department, to have information supported by them so that they can say, this place is not fit for human habitation. That's not a political decision. That is a decision made of technical experts trying to save lives and protect health. And that removes it from, how can the leader of the opposition argue if the Department of Public Health, if the environmental health people provide a technical statement regarding the living conditions of the domes? He could only refute that with better technical information and expertise. That's the only way. Because if he does anything other than that, he'll be being political. And there's nothing wrong with that, but I'm just saying it'll be seen for what it is. But in the circumstances, we get an action taken by the government without a prior statement to justify the action, without evidence from competent technical, even if bureaucrats, that can support the action, and then a refutation of a claim made by the opposition that now, again, is without any supporting technical foundation. I'm not arguing whether you're right or wrong. I'm arguing that, again, what we're doing is we are not creating the basis for public confidence because we are not employing best practices in execution of public policy. And it would be useful in this way. It has nothing to do with the FNM or the PLP, with Minnis or with Davis. It has to do ultimately with public confidence in the work, decision-making, behavior of its government. The statement also says some residents of the site are regularly engaging in activities which are illegal. Welcome to the world I live in. You could say that in practically every community. Every community you could say that. But they say activities which are not conducive to public health. Again, let the public health people say what those activities are. What activities can you be participating in a dorm, a dorm? This is your private residence temporarily for now, you know. It's like my house. What activity could I be participating in my house, in my place of residence, that can be a threat to public health? There could be many, but what are they? Let the public know, let the public health people say, and do those activities then justify the demolition of the dorm? So if I am doing things in my house that may be a threat to public health, does that justify the demolition of my home? Or does it require a vacating of the home and remediation action to avoid anything that might be a threat to public health, such as rats and all these kinds of stuff, or what have you, right? And then the statement goes on to say this. So now the statement is going to guilt the people who criticize, right? It says, those who criticize these efforts must lack knowledge of the state of the dorm's site and the process that led to the beginning of the dismantling process. Members of the public are criticizing it. I have a show. It's called Z Live. I have had people text this show saying the government should not, this was before now, demolish. I have people who are now saying the government should not have demolished the dorms. You say, well, they do that because they don't have knowledge of the state of the dorms. How are they supposed to have knowledge of these dorms owned by the government, occupied by private residents, if somebody doesn't tell them, show them what the state of the dorms are? How is that going to happen? Where you live on Grand Bahama, you live in New Providence, you live in Eleuthera, you live Long Island. How are you going to know what the state of the dorms are if no one told you or showed you? You're just with the limited information you have, you're thinking, why destroy the dorms? Maybe they could be used for some other purpose. Even now in my own head, I don't know the state of the dorms. I really don't. And I cannot conceive in my own head. I can't in my own head conceive why destroy them. I can't. That doesn't mean they should not have been destroyed. I try to be informed. I try things of which I speak. I have not been to Abaco to inspect the dorms. I have no idea what the dorms are like or what the state of the dorms are. How would I know what the state is? To me, that just isn't rational. That's not a rational explanation to provide the public of the Bahamas about what's going on. So again, the lesson here is, if you walk away from my talk and say, oh, he's criticizing Mr. Davis, those, that's up to you. You have to live with that yourself. If you're there, oh, he's defending Dr. Minister, listen, do your thing. But if you walk away from this thing saying there is a way, a better way, to handle public policy execution that can help build public confidence, now you understand what it is I'm trying to do. Beyond that, I can't help you. You're listening to Z Live, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We'll be back after this break. I'm not afraid to take a stand.
How important collecting your money can be to the success of your business. Start your relationship with Fidelity today so that we can show you the many options available to you with our merchant services. From click and pay options online to merchant terminals and e-commerce options, we're here to help your business succeed. For more details, speak to one of our business development officers at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport. Visit our website at fidelitygroup.com or visit any of our branches. Fidelity, we're good for you.
Babe, you mashed the car?
I'm
marsh the car. The lady who run into me marsh the car.
I hope she had insurance.
If she had insurance, she hop out, pull out her phone, pull out the Royal Star, bang. She was on a video call with an RSA rep, sending pictures of her damage, my damage, filing a claim on the spot.
For real? Our insurance have that kind of app?
You gotta go to RSA for that.
Download the RSA app today or visit rsabahamas.com to submit your claim online. Live chat available weekdays 9 to 5.
I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather, cold or warm. Send you know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM on this afternoon. If you want to give us a call, the numbers are 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can text us at 422-4796, or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. We were talking about the domes and the demolition of the domes. Again, I am not I'm not saying whether or not the domes ought to or ought not to have been destroyed, but the way this is executed, I thought, could be better. So someone says to me, Mr. Lang, I believe your assertion is wrong. Ms. Colby Davis made a statement during an interview weeks before those domes was knocked down. In an interview, she stated she was advised that the domes was poorly constructed, poorly ventilated, mold infested, therefore they were rendered unlivable. So here you are. You are defending... you're telling me I'm wrong because she made a statement. And you said she made a statement in an interview. And what did you say she said? She was advised. You seem to have missed my whole point, my friend. So if that was sufficient to give you confidence that this is the way that we should have proceeded, okay, fine. I'm good. You're good. You're okay. You're fine. Good. No problem. I'm saying, if it was me, and I want the public to have confidence in why I'm doing something, I'm not going to issue a statement in an interview, because that means that that you're saying somebody was interviewing her and then she happened to have said this, versus a decision has been made that is going to likely render people without a home. And presumably, I have to conclude people lived in the place because the OPM statement says that the people were doing things in the domes, illegal, right? And a threat to public health. So I'm saying that I'm not going to do this as a reaction to some interview. A decision has been made to demolish the domes. You make a formal communication, perhaps to the House of Assembly even, to the public, that this is going to happen. And you provide the evidence that you have that justifies your decision to demolish the domes. You are told by whom? If it's the environmental people, let them put it in writing to you. If it's the police, let them put it in writing to you. If it's the people from public health, let them put it in writing to you. And you say, Mr. Speaker, I want to provide a statement from a letter from public health, a letter from environment, a letter from the police expressing their concerns. And it sends us a structure from works stating that this is unlivable. Now, who can refute that? You are trying to give a political soft argument for somebody. And what I'm saying is, the government. I'm not interested in whether it's the PLP or the FNM. I'm saying the government helps itself by providing the kinds of evidence to support its actions that is of a technical nature that makes it difficult to argue against. You think I believe that Brave Davis is simply interested as Prime Minister of the Bahamas in just demolishing things to get rid of citizens? You think I have no such thought in my head that Minister Colby Davis is interested in any such thing? Absolutely not. I have no such thing in my head. I'm talking about governance here, and I'm talking about ways we can improve the way we execute on the public policy so that we can minimize some of the unnecessary pushback. You're always going to get pushback, but you can provide a basis for your public policy behavior by doing certain things, and that's what I'm talking about today. So if you are satisfied with a statement issued, carry on. Apparently, the MP for Abaco wasn't satisfied, and others were not satisfied. So, but if you are, no problem. Fine. Okay. So, we have a text here. Says, from those domes who are being structured, I've been questioning the installation and maintenance of those domes. I even later recommended that some of them be placed in several islands to be used by social services for people that need 3 to 6 months to save up for an apartment. I think PINTAD and FNMs are being hypocritical because we have not gotten all of the information about these domes through first brought them. Okay. They will have some in trailers that were not even used for heaven's sake. We're still paying rent for the trailers. Okay, it's just getting a little difficult to read. Had it not been an election, we would never have known that millions of dollars are still sitting in the trailer. But for the records, destroying the domes like that was foolishness. I can't support it. They could have been used by others even if you just gave them away, with the understanding that no liability is to the government if something happens when you get them. Well, whether Mr. Pintard is hypocritical or not, that's a judgment you have to make. Hypocritical means that you are saying and doing something that is the exact opposite of what you're saying and doing. How is he hypocritical if he's saying what you are saying, that the dome should not be demolished? Just because they didn't provide the information, which is a right criticism, why does that make him hypocritical for saying don't demolish the domes? I mean, the two of those don't have nothing to do with each other. You're saying, as the leader of the opposition, if he sees something happening that they didn't do, that if he sees something happening that's being done because mission about something, they shouldn't say anything about it. You really believe that's the way the governance of the country should work? I don't see how that's hypocritical. You could criticize the fact that they provided no information, blah, 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 blah. You could say that and just say that that was terrible. You could do that and then go on to say, well, here's why we destroyed the domes. But I don't see that as hypocritical. That not the definition of the word I know, unless you have a different definition. This text says, what I said was nothing to do with politics. I only shared some light on your topic because what you are saying should be done. I am saying it was done, but as usual, as long as we disagree, then it's politics. Just for your info, I never vote in this country. The way your wording came across, it sounded like a defense on a partisan side to me. If you weren't being political in that way, okay, no problems. Forgive me, right? I don't know how it's always, because if you listen to the show, I don't know how that gets to be always politics, right? I just still disagree with you because you tried to shed light on something which light was removed from what I was trying to say. So, which you don't even acknowledge because you're more interested in my thing because you disagreed with me. Bro, you disagreed with me. No problems. I'm not angry about that or upset. No thing at all. And whether you vote in the country or not, That's up to you, my friend. It is, to me, kind of weird that you choose not to, but that's up to you. Maybe you can't, I don't know. This text says, I said Bahamians didn't get enough info from Pintad about the domes when he was in power. But why would he have gotten it from Mr. Pintad in particular? Mr. Pintad was in the Ministry of Agriculture. Why would he have gotten it from why would you have got to get information from him? There was a whole minister responsible for the recovery and what have you. Why Mr. Pintad? That was a hypocritical part because no, they want more info why the domes are being destroyed. Well, why would he have wanted info about the domes being destroyed when they weren't being destroyed? And they're now being destroyed. So he's asking for information, right? Anyway, no problems. All right. So I'm done with the domes business, folks. So please don't text me no more about it. But let me read these ones in the text I didn't read. We take this one to the break then. We'll read these texts. Let me see here. This text says, good afternoon, Mr. Lang. Why are they demolishing the dome structures in Abaco? Suppose we need them again. God forbid. This text says, rats in New Providence is also a threat. Okay. Said, good day, Mr. Lang. I see the statement from OPM as political to by the previous administration for 2 years. This was the words uttered by our prime minister, and it's unfortunate that some politicians believe we are not able to rationalize thoughts. The decision was not vetted through the process. Okie dokie. All right. So we're going to finish it up. We'll finish that up. That's done. When we come back, we start talking about the Bahamas becoming a republic. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We'll be back after this break.
I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather, cold or warm. Let me know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
Join Cleft of the Rock Foundation in conjunction with the Bahamar Foundation for the inaugural Rebuilding Villages Charity Golf Tour 2nd at the world-famous Royal Blue Golf Course, Bahamar, Nassau, the Bahamas. An exciting and fun-filled day with lots of great prizes, but more importantly, an opportunity to give back to the communities of the Bahamas. Proceeds from this event will fund our essential programs, including Parenting on Purpose, raising awareness of the need for parent education. It's the Cleft of the Rock Inaugural Charity Golf Tournament, October 2nd. We're rebuilding villages, one family at a time. For more information and to sign up, visit cleftoftherockfoundation.org or email cleftoftherockfoundation@gmail.com.
Your child's future is full of super possibilities, so you need a super college savings plan to match. With an RF educational investment account, you can get returns well above the traditional savings account. You can use the funds to cover a variety of educational expenses at home or abroad. And if things don't go as planned, the funds are easily transferable. Plan for all your child's super possible educational investment account. Get started today at rfgroup.com.
Looking for another way to save on your grocery bill? Then look no more. My Solomon Smart Rewards, the ultimate loyalty program. To start earning smart rewards every time you shop Solomon's, Fresh Market, and Exuma Markets. Loyalty members earn 1 point for every dollar spent, and points can be earned and redeemed in all participating locations. Don't be left out of the savings. In Nassau, Grand Bahama, or Exuma today, start earning your smart rewards.
I used to think of the bank as my personal ATM machine. If I wanted a new car, new furniture, a weekend trip to Miami, no problem. Just max out the credit card or top up my loan. I was a big baller.
until I realized that 75% of my salary was going to pay back all those loans. Fidelity's personal financial coaching was the best solution. Fidelity gave me a plan with a debt consolidation loan that has a built-in savings that pays five. I now only have one low monthly payment, plus money in my pocket. Give Fidelity Bank a call at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport. Visit any of Fidelity's locations or visit a website at fidelitygroup.com.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Monday afternoon. 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can text us on 422-4796 or WhatsApp me on 439-3043. So since the death of Queen Elizabeth II on September 8th, and now the ascendancy of Prince Charles to King Charles, there has been a renewed set of discussions about former colonies of Britain becoming republics. And we've heard Prime Minister Davis indicate that he's prepared to put the same to referendum. And we've heard others discussing whether or not we should become a republic. And I got more and more that discussion will continue to take place. Some people think that Queen Elizabeth probably tempered that discussion by her own demeanor as a likable, respectable sovereign. But now there are people who hold different views about Charles. Mind you, that didn't stop when Queen Elizabeth was queen. That didn't stop people from calling for a republic. And some countries took the steps to become a republic. But I think she made it more palatable for some to continue as a republic. Now there are some people who think that the Charles, maybe the leap should happen now, right? But why? What would a republic do that is different than what we now have? But why would a republic matter? What would it matter of governance in the way of our economics? What material difference would it make is the question. So that's something that we might want to explore. At its essence, though, what really is a republic? At its essence, we have people calling for a republic, but at its essence, what does that mean? In Britain, the call for a republic is very low in Great Britain. It's not a, and they are a place where the queen actually, where the sovereigns actually live, where the royal family actually live. Why is it that they are not so gung ho on the on this notion of a republic? Why would they? Maybe what would drive them that way? Why? What is there about if Britain decided to no longer be a cabinet government, because that's what they are, right? They're a cabinet government, right? They're not a monarchy in any true sense of the monarchy anymore. They are a cabinet government. They are a democracy, right? Like, and if they abandoned the royal family, what change? Is Britain not a democracy? Is Britain not a democratic country? Is Britain not a country with accountability? I mean, listen, in Great Britain, we have seen cabinet ministers and members of parliament resign for things which around these parts, people wouldn't even contemplate. One minister resigned in Great Britain because he let his driver drop him to his constituency office. Right? So what is it that they would do better if they didn't have this royal family as the head of state? What power would the royal family lose? What new power would the leader of the government inherit because of them becoming a republic is the question. Now, think about this now. People that we should get from under all the trappings of our former colonial masters. Okay, I understand that, and we're going to talk about that. The British people, there are many British people who have their own vexation with the royal family. Okay, because remember, the royal family in its heyday, they were the lords over the British people. So the British people, in many ways, suffered some of the abuses suffered by their colonial territories too, because the sovereigns owned everything, controlled everything. They determined who lived and died. They were above the law. What could Britain, if Britain removed itself, the royals as their head of state, can they absolve themselves of having been the country and territory which had the royal as the head of state and colonial masters, as the colonial masters of others? Can't. They are the ones who were and had royal families govern them forever. They will be that forever. So what real difference to the way you and I live would a republic create is the question. I'm not suggesting there isn't. I'm just asking the question as to what you think that difference is. Why, if you think, I think I saw a survey recently, today actually, that said that, let me see if I could find it. It almost 60%+ of Bahamians that were surveyed in that survey thought that we should become a republic. Some 60% thought that we should become a republic. I don't know if they asked what people understood a republic to be, but they certainly did ask the question, and the vast majority of people thought become a republic, which for us means what? Becoming a republic. What changes for us if we become a republic is the question. All right, so these are some of the things we're gonna explore today, but I wanted to lay the foundations of it by having you think through some of the issues that tend to come up when we talk about our becoming a republic or not. This text says, I'm not one to mention one talk show host to the next, but Aaron Green said something that makes me wonder if most talk show hosts do their research before they come ranting on the radio. So what do I mean? She said that PM Davis would not be doing some special if he brings a referendum to make us a republic. She went on to say that he acting as if he is a king, as if only he has the power to bring the referendum. I was trying to call the show and tell her, yes, he has the power. Yeah. Our Constitution does not provide for the people to place a referendum on the ballot in those states that need about 2/3 of the voters in that state to put anything up on the ballot for a referendum. We can't do that here. Our politicians have to put things on the ballot. I hope she reads our Constitution before ranting. Any system that can advance us, I am for it. Well, I don't know what she said, and so I'm not going to comment on it, but you are right that there are what we call entrenched provisions of the Constitution. And entrenched means that in order to change that provision, you have to get vote in the majority to some degree, 2/3, in some instances, 75%, and then you have to bring it to the country in a referendum where if the majority votes for it, then the matter is passed and the change can be made to the Constitution, which we have done before. So I hear people say we've never had a successful referendum in the country, and that's not true. We have a teachers' commission today because the country amended the Constitution through referendum to vote for that. We have some change to the Judicial Commission because that too was on the ballot and that was voted for positively. We didn't get a success on some questions on the referendum, but we have had changes to our Constitution made through referendum before. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We'll be back after this break. News break. You'll be back.
I'm not afraid to take a stand. Take a stand. Everybody. Come take my hand. Come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm. Let me know that you're not alone. Holler if you feel like you've been down the same road.
Join Cleft of the Rock Foundation in conjunction with the Bahamar Foundation for the inaugural Rebuilding Villages Charity Golf Tournament, Sunday, October 2nd at the world-famous Royal Blue Golf Course, Bahamar, Nassau, the Bahamas. An exciting and fun-filled day with lots of great prizes, but more importantly, an opportunity to give back to the communities of the Bahamas. Proceeds from this event will fund our essential programs, including Parenting on Purpose, raising awareness of the need for parent education. It's an inaugural charity golf tournament, October 2nd. We're rebuilding villages, one family at a time. For more information and to sign up, visit cleftoftherockfoundation.org or email cleftoftherockfoundation@gmail.com.
Looking for another way to save on your grocery bill? Then look no more. My Solomon Smart Rewards, the ultimate loyalty program. To start earning smart rewards every time you shop Solomon's, Fresh Market, and Exuma Markets. Loyalty members earn 1 point for every dollar spent, and points can be earned and redeemed in all participating locations. Don't be left out of the savings. In Nassau, Grand Bahama, or Exuma today, start earning your smart rewards.
Your child's future is full of super possibilities, so you need a super college savings plan to match. With an RF educational investment account, you can get returns well above the traditional savings account. You can use the funds to cover a variety of educational expenses at home or abroad. And if things don't go as planned, the funds are easily transferable. Plan for all your child's super possibilities with the RF educational investment account. Get started today at RF Group.
I'm not afraid to take a stand. Everybody, come take my hand, we'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm, let me know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM on this beautiful Monday afternoon. If you want to give us a call, the numbers are 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can text us on 422-4796 or WhatsApp me on 439-3043. Why should the Bahamas become a republic? Why should we become, what is a republic? What's the difference between a republic and, say, a cabinet government, a Westminster government as such as we have today? What is the difference? And does that difference really make a difference? We call ourselves a democracy. Great Britain calls itself a democracy. The world calls us and it a democracy. The United States is a democracy. It's a republic. So what is the difference? Is there a difference when it comes to accountability in terms of power? Is there a difference? What's the difference? That's the question. Because if you change from something to something, you really do it because you want to make a positive difference, right? You don't just do it. You typically make changes, open to change. It becomes represents a difference for us. So we know that Angola, Argentina, Belarus, Benin, Bolivia, Brazil, Burundi, Cameroon, Central African Republic, Chile, Colombia, Comoros, Costa Rica, Cyprus, Djibouti, Dominican Republic, Ecuador, El Salvador, Equatorial Guinea, Gabon, Gambia, Ghana, Guatemala, Honduras, Indonesia, Iran, Ivory Coast, Kyrgyzstan, Liberia, Maldives, as some say, Mexico, Nicaragua, Nigeria, Palau, Panama, Paraguay, Peru, Philippines, Rwanda, Senegal, Seychelles, Sierra Leone, South Korea, South Sudan, Tajikistan, Tanzania, Tonga, Turkey, Turkmenistan, Uganda, United States, Uruguay, Uzbekistan, Venezuela, Zambia, and Zimbabwe are all republics. They are all republics. There are some countries that are regarded as semi-republics, but these are all republics. Now, of all of those countries that I just named, less the United States of America, which one of those countries would you rather be than the Bahamas? You want me to name them again? The United States is a republic. All these other countries are republics. Canada is not in that group. Angola, Argentina, Benin, Bolivia, Honduras, Indonesia, Iran, Paraguay, all of these are republics. Which one of them would you rather be? Right? We republics, they call us parliamentary republics. We call ourselves cabinet government. Barbados is named as one of those parliamentary republics. They sometimes refer to us as constitutional monarchies, right? The Bahamas, us and Belize in them, right? Canada, meaning we have a monarch as head of state, but we are governed by our constitution and there's limited power resident in the monarch. What would be the difference? So when we say that we want to become a republic, what we're saying is, yes, Trinidad, somebody said you didn't mention Trinidad and Tobago. Yes, Trinidad and Tobago is one of the newest republics. Right? Haven't made that leap and departure from the Queen as monarch. So when we say we want a republic, what we're saying is we will no longer have as head of state the head of the royal family in England. So won't be Prince Charles, would not have been Queen Elizabeth. But rather we will elect our head of state, right? We'll elect our head of state. And so what difference would that make? So in Trinidad now, the president of Trinidad is not directly elected, you know. The president of Trinidad is elected for a 5-year term by an electoral college comprising of 24 members of the House of Representatives and 31 members of the Senate. And so, I mean, the United States, they have a similar something that's a direct election of the president. And then the college, the Electoral College, essentially certifies that public vote. And they now have a debate about whether, in fact, the public could elect the president, but the college could choose a different president. This is actually a live debate since Donald Trump's election. I mean, they've had that debate going on before that, but it became very manifest under the tenure of Donald Trump. And so, you know, what's the difference now? What's the difference we are trying to accomplish through a republic? We have a caller on the line. Go ahead, caller, we're listening to you. Hello, go ahead, caller, we're listening to you. Okay, we lost them? Okay, well, that was quick. All right, so what's the difference? This text says, "In it and Barbados are parliamentary secretary republics. Both countries remain in the Commonwealth." Yep. So I mean, I'm saying though, what's the difference? We the difference is we decide that the head of state of our country will not be the head of the royal family anymore. It will be a president elected by some process we determine. You know, everybody doesn't have to do it the same way, but in the end, it'll be that the president, the head of the state, the head of the country. See, there's a difference between and the head of state. The prime minister in our country is the head of the government. And when he travels throughout the world, that's the one the countries seek to protect the most, the head of the government. The head of state, meaning the queen, she gets that level of protection too as a head of state. But the governor general of our country, who represents the queen, does not get afforded the same level of protection as the prime minister, who's the head of government. Because for the countries, the weightier matter is to protect the head of the government. The governor general in our country is not the head of state. He is the representative of the head of state, who is the queen, or was the queen, now Prince, now King Charles, right? But governments are concerned with the head of government. In a republic, you consolidate. Well, you don't actually consolidate, because you create a head of state who becomes the ultimate, like, real power in the state. But you can still have a prime minister who's head of government. That can happen too, right? So when people say we want to become a republic, you got to say what you want to become in terms of becoming a republic. What kind of republic do you want to become? Because when I think Bahamians think republic, they think, I want a republic like the United States of America, where the person I'm going to vote for to become president gets to come to me directly and vie and campaign to be president. And I get to vote for him regardless of who's head of the party. Then they forget that almost in every party, the Republican or Democratic Party is the one vying for those parties to be president and using those parties' machineries to become president. In fact, using the party machinery to get elected head of the party so that they can be the party standard bearer to be president, so that any other person running for president who's not a part of a major political party becomes an independent candidate for president, which is possible in a republic, not possible in our democratic, in our parliamentary system, because to become prime minister, which is head of the government, you have to be the leader of the party with the most members elected to the House of Assembly. So you can never become prime minister if you're not the leader of a political party. Therefore, we don't really vote for our prime ministers. We vote for the representatives of the party. And if we vote enough of those representatives in, then the governor general calls on that leader to form a government. In a republic, it doesn't work that way. There's some process electing the head of the state. And you can consolidate the head of state and head of government in the same person too. But you don't have to, which is why I'm saying many of us who talk about these things think rather simplistically about it, because we may not be aware of how many variations of the thing there can be. In any event, what we decide to do has to be a question of what problem we are trying to fix. That's why for the Bahamas, we shouldn't just think we don't want the Queen, we don't want King Charles, we want to be a republic. That's not what we should think. I think actually look at this question. I think we should examine what are the opportunities and what are the challenges confronting us, and what construction of government can best address those opportunities and challenges. I think that's what we should do. And in doing so, we may come up with a system entirely alien to the planet right now. We may. Or we don't believe we're that genius, that brilliant. But to simply just run to republic, why not just think about it? Think about, what are the challenges confronting the Bahamas from a governance point of view? What are the opportunities presented to the Bahamas from a governance point of view? And what system of government would help us seize those opportunities and address those challenges best? Whatever that system is, let's find it and implement it, because maybe it doesn't exist today. Maybe it's some contortion of all the ones that exist today. Maybe it's some hybrid. Maybe it's, you know, who knows? So I am not one to go and say, simply dive into, we should become a republic. I want to know what are the opportunities, and then what are the challenges? And then we can go from there. I do want to say, though, that essentially a republic means that the ultimate power of the state is resident in the people. That's what a republic really means. That the ultimate power of the state is resident in the people. And right away, anyone who knows the definition of democracy should say to me, but Shivago, that sounds like a democracy. And you would be right that it's very similar to democracy, but there's a difference. Very similar to democracy, but there's a difference. Remember, Great Britain, the United Kingdom, is a democracy, but it has a monarch. So how do you square that? It's a democracy. It's a people rule, but it has a monarch. How do you square that? The United States is a democracy, but it has a president. UK, US, both democracies, but it has a monarch. You know, France is, for all intents and purposes, a pretty much a democracy, but they too had a sovereign. And you have others who are democracies who have still this titular head, right? So how then does it make a difference being a republic if you're already a democracy? What's the difference? That's a good question. And the best answer to it I've ever heard, I got from reading a work by a gentleman, his name is sorry, let me get it for you. I'll get it for you, but he gave, I thought, a very good distilled difference for people to discern what the difference is. And I'm going to talk to you about it when we come back from the break. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We'll be back after this break.
I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
To the success of your business. Start your relationship with Fidelity today so that we can show you the many options available to you with our merchant services. From click and pay options online to merchant terminals and e-commerce options, we're here to help your business succeed. For more details, speak to one of our business development officers at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport. Visit our website at fidelitygroup.com or visit any of our branches.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
Your child's future is full of super possibilities, so you need a super college savings plan to match. With an RF educational investment account, you can get returns well above the traditional savings account. You can use the funds to cover a variety of educational expenses at home or abroad. And if things don't go as planned, the funds are easily transferable. Plan for all your child's super possibilities with the RF Educational Investment Account. Get started today at rfwhoop.com.
Let's begin today's history lesson. Ancient civilization used to visit stadiums to watch musicians perform. It was called a live concert.
Teacher, what year was that?
Researchers believe it was around 2019. Normal life feels like a long time ago. As things return to normal, remember, it is essential to be fully immunized against all vaccine-preventable diseases like COVID-19, rubella, polio, hepatitis, mumps, and influenza. This message is brought to you by PAHO WHO, the Ministry of Health and Wellness, the Caribbean Development Bank, the Government of Canada, and the United States of America.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather, cold or warm. Let me know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z-Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Monday afternoon. If you want to give us a call, the numbers are 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can text us on 422-4796 or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. We are talking about why the Bahamas should become a republic. I know people are calling for it, but why? Just because we don't, well, let me fix that. Some people say, you know, we need a departure from our colonial past, which was not all that glorious. And honestly, if logical, national psychological leap is what people are looking for, okay. Becoming a republic would do that, that's for sure. It would, could certainly sever any ties we would have to, in quote, our colonial past. We'll have to add to that, severing ourselves from the Privy Council as well. We would have to add to that, we probably should add to that, severing ourselves from the English language. We should add to that severing ourselves from the kind of clothing we have. We should add to that some of the ways in which we address ourselves and address each other. We should add to that. We should get rid of all of these honors that we have. So we should get rid of all the things. If we're looking for a real psychological separation from our colonial past, we should do it right. You know, you cut it off. You cut it all off. You know, women know how to do that. Women, men. Then you decide, I done with you, cut it all off. No, nothing. That's it. We're done. Right? So we would have some work to do. It's not just replacing the queen. It's all the other things that remind us of the fact that we had a colonial past. Tear it down. All the statutes, take them down. Right? Somebody might argue. Some people say it would enable us to have more accountability in our system because we could elect a president, but we could elect members of parliament and congressmen independently, and they could therefore check the president. Well, listen, I hear that argument, but I don't buy that argument because we've seen of late in the United States of America that if sufficient congressmen and senators side with the president, you get the same effect as a Westminster system. We saw that, which means that all that has to do to thwart accountability is collusion between the branches of government, collusion between the president and the Congress. Well, if collusion between the president and the Congress could put you in a situation where accountability is less. How about some independent thinking between the members of parliament and the executive? How could that, maybe that could do it too. It may not be as easy in our system because to maybe elect people, most of them end up in the cabinet. But independent cabinet ministers, because you ain't no good as a prime minister. They could decide to do the thing, and the man got to go to or the woman has to go to election. They could decide to do that. Just like that, you could decide to collude, you could decide to oppose. So the mere fact of being a republic doesn't prevent collusion between branches of government. Does not. It takes mindsets to do that. So that's what some people argue. Beyond that, I don't really know of many other arguments that's put forward. This text says, I don't understand the effort to refer to republics as non-democracies. Surely that doesn't obtain in most of the republics you listed. Example, USA, Trinidad. Who refers to republics as non-democracies? I know I don't. They are democracies. And the point is, republics, actually the word means that ultimate power is resident in the people. And that's pretty much what democracy means. So I'm not sure who refers to it that way. This text says, since I know a lot about American politics, I like their system. There is a clear line of succession because they have a fixed date for election by a president waking up one day and deciding there needs to be an election. Now, it can't be that they have a clear line of succession because they have a fixed date. That's not what gives them a clear line of this. They have a clear line of succession because they created a clear line of succession. Now, we say we don't have a clear line of succession in the Bahamas. That's not really true. Well, we have. If the prime minister of the Bahamas becomes debilitated, if the prime minister of the Bahamas is incapable of doing his duties, or if for some reason passes away, the governor general calls on, well, what happens is the members of the House of Assembly who are in the majority decide who is going to be who's the person that commands the majority support of them. If they can't decide it, then the governor general decides, and he calls whoever he calls on becomes prime minister. Now, that is not as clear as saying, well, if the prime minister is unable to do his duties, then you let the deputy prime minister, then you let this one. That is true. That is true. But we do have a means of succeeding a person who is prime minister, the head of government. We do have a means of doing that. And if something happens to the governor general, we have a means of doing that too. So it's not as if we have no means of doing it. It's just that we don't have delineations in terms of, well, if him, not her, him, then him. If not him, her, then that. We don't do it that way. That's for sure. There's a process we have defined to get at the next person. That's for sure. This text says, good afternoon, Mr. Lang. You mentioned removing the Privy Council as one of the ways we might separate from our colonial past. I think that's one of the things that people often refer to public. But can't we remove the Privy Council anyway within the existing system? We can do it. We can adopt a different court. We can adopt the Caribbean court, or we can just declare our Supreme Court our ultimate court. We can do it. So we don't have to become a republic to do that. Right? We just, the idea by some people is, well, will people have as much confidence in your jurisprudence as they would have if you didn't have the Privy Council? That's a debate you have to have. Anyways, Jake Cost, who's the senior policy, non-resident senior policy fellow at the Gerald R. Ford, it's the Gerald R. Ford non-resident senior fellow at the Policy Institute in Washington. I thought he wrote a piece entitled Democracy or Republic. and he did it for the National Review. And he says that the distinction between a republic and a democracy, is what he said, is not always easy to make. But he says that there is one element of it that's often overlooked that really makes the distinction between what we mean by a republic versus, say, democracy. Okay? The difference. And he says that the difference is that this is where the difference between our system, Westminster system, that of the UK and those, separate from a republic. Here's the difference. In a republic, there is no part of your governing structure, no part that is directly or indirectly touched by the people. No part in a republic. How does the president get elected and he's the head of state? By the people. How does the senators get elected? By the people. How does the Congress get elected? By the people. How do the judicial people get appointed at the federal level? By the president, who is elected by the people. So indirectly, by the people. At the state level and others, they are elected. If they're appointed by a governor, the governor is elected by the people. So when you look at the branches of government, the holders of the power of the people, the executive branch, the judicial branch, the congressional branch, if you look at any of those branches, there's none of them that is untouched by the people. None. In our democracies, in the Westminster constitutional monarchy as we have, in our system, there is one branch of government, one component of government not touched by the people. And that's the monarchy, the head of state. Our head of state is a hereditary implement, meaning you don't get to choose in any way, form, or fashion Prince Charles became your king, that Queen Elizabeth became your queen. You had nothing to do with it. We have nothing to do with it. You have no say in the matter at all. You have a say in who becomes prime minister, because if you don't elect his group to become the majority in the parliament, he doesn't become prime minister, she doesn't become prime minister. So you say you don't elect your prime minister, but the truth is you do, because if you don't elect his majority, he doesn't get to become prime minister. You say, but I don't elect the judicial people. No, they're appointed by the PM and leader of the opposition, and you elect them through their people, right? So our branches of government, the executive, touched by the people indirectly through the vote. Our legislators, touched by the people through the direct vote. Our judiciary, touched by the people indirectly through the vote. But our head of state is untouched by the vote and will of the people. That's the difference between our system and a republic. So the question is, if you want to touch every part of your governing structure, then change to a republic, because it allows you and permits you to do that. But if you are okay because you're that part of the governing structure has no real power, it can't determine your education policy, it can't determine your national policy, it can't determine your foreign policy, it can't determine your social policy, it can't do anything other than participate in defined ways in the appointment of your certain peoples in your country in a symbolic way. Some might say in a real way, because if challenged in the court, he has some real powers. Because if the monarch decides, I'm not going to appoint the person you say is head of the party because I don't think they fit, what do you do? What would you do? You go to the court? you go, well, how do you deal? Does the prime minister then decide, okay, well, what I have to do is I have to replace that person as governor general and find somebody who will? But somebody can say there might be some real power there. But in essence, the difference between a republic, and these democracies we have that are not, in quote, republics, non-republics, is that every part of a republic, the structure of government in a republic, is touched by the people. Every part. And so some people might say that's a genuine democracy. Some people might say that's a genuine democracy. And in the United States of America, one of the things that Jay Cost points out is that the federal system was selected by Madison as a means of, again, ensuring, even in a democracy, there is a check on majorities to ensure that they wouldn't create tyranny by having one globe, one mass of people say, let's do it this way, when states can say, yeah, you could do it that way where you are, but you can't do it that way in this state. And so they use the federalist system as a check on mob rule. But again, in every way in a republic, the idea is to have power, to be able to touch the organs of government with the power of the people. I hope you understand that, because I thought it was a brilliant observation. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We'll be back after this break.
I'm not afraid to take a stand.
I used to think of the bank as my personal ATM machine. If I wanted a new car, new furniture, a weekend trip to Miami, no problem, just max out the credit card or top up my loan. I was a big baller until I realized that 75% of my salary was going to pay back all those loans. Fidelity's personal financial coaching was the best solution. Fidelity gave me a plan with a debt consolidation loan that has a built-in savings that pays 5% interest, one low monthly payment, plus money in my pocket. Give Fidelity Bank a call at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport. Visit any of Fidelity's locations or visit a website at fidelitygroup.com.
Join Cleft of the Rock Foundation in conjunction with the Bahamar Foundation for the inaugural Rebuilding Villages Charity Golf Tournament, Sunday, October 2nd, at the world-famous Royal Blue Golf Course, Bahamar, Nassau, the Bahamas. An exciting and fun-filled day with lots of great prizes, but more importantly, an opportunity to give back to the communities of the Bahamas. Proceeds from this event will fund our essential programs, including Parenting on Purpose, raising awareness of the need for parent education. It's the Cleft of the Rock Inaugural Charity Golf Tournament, October 2nd. We're rebuilding villages, one family at a time. Visit cleftoftherockfoundation.org or email cleftoftherockfoundation@gmail.com.
I ain't marsh the car. The lady who run into me marsh the car.
I hope she had insurance.
If she had insurance, she hop out, pull out her phone, pull up the Royal Star Assurance app, and bang, she was on a video call with an RSA rep, sending pictures of her damage, my damage, filing a claim on the spot.
For real? Our insurance have that kind of app?
You gotta go to RSA for that.
Download the RSA app today, or visit rsabahamas.com to submit your claim online. Live chat available weekdays 9 to 5.
This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM.
I'm not afraid to take a stand.
welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Monday afternoon. I trust you are well. We were spending some time talking about why we should become a republic. And if you were listening and you wanted to summarize why I think people would say you should, I do not discount that some people want a departure from our colonial past and think that being rid of the monarchy on a monarch would do that. And so I don't discount that. I think that that's a perfectly legitimate reason for a majority of people in the country to want to do it if you can get to it. I have no problems with that. I see no economic benefits to it. I see no particular social benefits to doing so outside of the psychological impact it could have on people who say yes, at long last, it's just us. I don't see anything beyond that. If it means something to you to be able to touch every part of your government with your vote, then to me that might be the most fundamental reason to do so. Frankly, I am not moved one way or the other by it, not in any significant way. But I do believe we are going to ponder the issue that we should take the time to look at our opportunities and challenges, governance opportunities and challenges, and see, relook at what system might best help us seize those opportunities and meet those challenges. And if you're gonna make the effort, make a lasting effort. Make one that might really help. 100 years from now, New Bahamians might decide on something different. But, you know, that is as it should be. It says, good afternoon, Shivago. The government has claimed that the domes are a health hazard, but the demolition team isn't wearing any PPEs. What a time in Bikini Bottom. This text says, I think the PM should be elected, not automatically given that post as in. That's something a republic would allow, but I'm comfortable with our system as it is. But the PM isn't automatically given the post. I mean, that is not true. Think about it, right? First of all, you have to go and campaign amongst your own colleagues to become the leader of your party to begin with. Okay? You have to do that. Then you have to go and make a case to the public. Who's all over the place being the principal speaker at all these rallies? And who are people really voting for? If you live in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, please tell me, do you really believe the majority of people were voting for someone other than Sir Lyndon Pinin to be prime minister all them years? Someone other than Hubert Ingraham to be prime minister all them years? Really? Someone to be prime minister other than Barry Christie? Maybe you might argue, I don't know. I think it's weaned in recent times that people haven't been voting for prime ministers per se. I agree that. I believe that. But generally speaking, they're making the case, the principal case, the leader of the party, right? And so he doesn't automatically become prime minister. He does not. He becomes prime minister because your constitution says the leader of the party with the most members elected, and he had to go get the members elected. So I do take your point that you don't care one way or the other, but I'm just saying it ain't so automatic. This text says RPM has too much power by virtue of the office under our current system, so a republic just as to deal with the office might be attractive. Okay, I hear people make that point. Tell me, what's the power? What is too much power? Tell me what is too much power. What do you mean? So I'd like to know. I don't want to assume I know what you mean. So you just say that. But what is too much? Now you have to define when is enough power. So what is too much power, right? What power shouldn't he have? And how would that power not be his if he's president? If our prime minister has too much power, do you know that the president of the United States of America can order the launch of nuclear weapons and anybody could check him? Who could check him? Too much power? This man can destroy the world. And he's in a republic. Right? If they defy his will, they are having debates to some degree now based on recent history as to whether or not that power shouldn't be checked. But the problem is they're saying, but to check that power means you that you deprive the president of the ability to act quickly in the event of war. Do you want to do that? Say, you are correct. Our system even allows for Pinta to be leader if a vote is taken that he should be the PM, even though he is not a PLPs can vote against Davis. It's true. You can. It is unlikely, but it's true. There's nothing that prevents them from doing it. Nothing that prevents them. Well, they can vote against Davis. That doesn't make Pintard prime president. What happens is Davis will have a period of time in which he can go to the people to election to get a new mandate. So it's not automatic that they can do that. No. Okay. Anyways, I don't know if how it has helped today, but it was a discussion. And my own view is that we will not be a republic in this term. I do not believe we will be a republic in next term. And I do believe that we may be, other than a monarch, a constitutional monarchy, in the future. I do believe that is possible. I do believe that is possible. Let me here say to you before we leave you that BTC Business introduces innovation, small business masterclass, positioning your business for success. Thursday, September 15th from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Fusion Superplex. Connect with experts from business branding and media promotion to digital marketing and more in this interactive in-person experience. Plus, you could win a free one-on-one session with our industry experts. Tickets are $50 and booth space $100. Free breakfast and lunch will be provided. Call 47-SMALL, S-M-A-L-L, to book your seat today. All right, so that's BTC Business Innovation, a masterclass opportunity for small businesses. I'm intrigued oftentimes at how we are evolving as a society. Some days I think that we are stuck in a rut of a mindset. We have bought into some knee-jerk thinking about some things. But then other times when I hear Bahamians dialogue about some stuff, I'm thinking our evolution is progressing quite nicely. Whether we agree or disagree is irrelevant. That there are people who are pressing the limits of our boundaries and thinking, trying to think through how we can get to become our better selves. Because for me, that's what national development is. National development isn't a point. I saw as if we're going to arrive at a place where we have arrived. The United States of America is a developing country. Yes, it's developed in some definition. We have a developed, but it's delusional to think it is where ultimately it can be. Right? It's continuously developing. So is every other developed country, as we call them. They're more developed, certainly, than many others, including ourselves. But development is about unfolding your potential, which is dynamic. Your potential could grow over time, right? Look at Guyana now. Has explosive economic potential now that it did not have before, at least was not known before. But because of their oil find, they now have a new set of boundaries for their development. Question is how they will use that and master that, and that's up to them. It's Texas, Mr. Lang, the president can ultimately release nuclear weapons, but the military has a component in that process. It does, he does, but that component is only to ensure that that order came from him. They cannot, if you can show it to me, they cannot resist that order. Not if it's legitimate, meaning that he actually gave it. All they're doing is check, did the order really come from him? Did the order really come from him? So each man checks the codes and so forth and so forth, but they can't. It's a mutiny to resist the command of your commander-in-chief. No, he's a... Why you think the code travels with him? That box travels with him. Right? No, friend. When they say he's a powerful man, he's a powerful man. Or woman, powerful woman. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. I'm so glad you could join us today. I trust enough you have a great evening. God bless. We'll talk to you again tomorrow. Take a stand, everybody.